Hello and welcome to the Fastest Lap Podcast, helping you to stay up to date with the fast-moving world of Formula One. Today we review the seasons of Red Bull, Williams, Haas and Sauber. My name is Jan, and as ever, I'm in Fergal. Hello everyone, and also Merry Christmas, as this episode will be up at the 25th of December. So I hope you have a really great time at the moment, spending some time with family. And yeah, what not better to do than listen to some F1 podcasts right now, because of course in the winter break there isn't too much going on. So we're talking about the seasons, the 2016 seasons of all the teams. And today, as I said, we are again with some top teams, midfield teams, and one or two backmarkers, however you want to define it. And yeah, let's start with Red Bull this time. And yeah, Red Bull, of course, they had some big troubles in 2014-2015 with their Renault engine. I think that definitely improved in 2016. I think, yeah, especially in Monza and so on, there's still a gap to the Mercedes and Ferrari engine, but especially this season, I think, yeah, they did quite improved on that. Maybe it's because they've got a Tag Heuer engine, not a Renault engine.
Yeah, maybe it saved them a lot of time on track. There's my Christmas joke done. Red Bull have had a pretty decent season. Compared to where they thought they were, I mean, I read somewhere Christian Horner said that they expected to drop out of the top five or be around the top five or something like that. They never expected to be the second best team, and they certainly never expected to win two races in the season. Of course, the engine did improve a lot, and Red Bull always have been very, very good on aerodynamics. So again, yeah, I think overall it's been a very, very successful season for Red Bull, considering where they thought they would be.
Yeah, especially with winning the race in Barcelona with Max Verstappen, and also in Malaysia, two race wins compared to Ferrari's zero race wins. I mean, yeah, as you said, very successful. And yeah, in Spain, they swapped their drivers around with Kvyat being demoted to Toro Rosso and Verstappen coming up into the mother team. So I think that was one of the best decisions they made this season, because it really fired up the whole team, it seemed like.
Yeah, I mean, Max Verstappen coming into that team just really... Helmut Marko said that you could feel the power through the whole team. I mean, don't get me wrong, I think Daniel Kvyat is a good driver. I really do think he's a talented driver. But Max Verstappen, I think it probably was the right thing to promote him. It clearly was, because he won the next race. He won his first race at the team. So that kind of shook the whole team up and just shook the order a bit and gave it like a new feel and an exciting feel, and that was felt through the whole team, I think, which ended up giving them, I think they got something like 16 podiums or 15 podiums throughout the whole season.
A lot, which is
very good for them.
Yeah, and not by mistake did Verstappen win our Driver of the Year award, so that's all he wanted, I guess.
Yeah, well, for now, I think he'll be chasing something else next year, a lot more next year.
Definitely.
But yeah, without a doubt, the two of them did a great job for them this season.
Do you know whether Adrian Newey was much involved in the 2016 car?
I don't think he was that involved as he was the past few years. He was of course working on a project with Aston Martin for their hypercar, which looks really, really cool. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, it looks
a bit
awesome.
Expensive, but
a little bit, but Maybe I might ask that for Christmas next year.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, it's a bit late this year. But yeah, I think Newey wasn't as involved this year, I don't think. But for next year, he was involved a lot because that's his special area, aerodynamic
Yeah.
efficiency. So yeah, I think overall Red Bull had a very good season.
Yeah, definitely agree with that. Very good season in terms of the drivers with their car, of course. I guess they had a very few reliability issues compared to the previous seasons. So yeah, definitely all in all a good season. Coming second in the Constructors' Championship also gives them some money. Not that they would need it, but it's always a plus. And yeah, so absolutely a good season for them. And then moving on to some of the midfield teams, starting with Williams. And yeah, for them it was more kind of the opposite, really. Yeah, we saw them a lot behind McLaren's and Force India's during the races. Yeah, where did you think it went wrong with them? I mean, they had two pretty good drivers with Bottas, of course, a very, very good driver. Massa maybe not at the peak of his performance anymore, but still a very good driver. Yeah, was it all down to a lack of development or a lack of money, or what do you think was the problem this season?
I can't really pinpoint exactly where it went wrong for them. They kind of just seemed to slip further and further down the field as they went along, which is weird. I mean, Williams came third, I think, in the constructor standings in 2014.
Yeah, and even being on pole in Austria, I can remember.
And I mean, even last year they were leading. They had a 1-2 last year at the British Grand Prix.
Yeah, right.
So I mean, yeah, it's kind of, even since 2014, you could say that they've just been going downhill. I guess it's probably everything, lack of development on their aerodynamics, whatever on the chassis. There's lots of different components that need to be developed. But yeah, I think it was kind of just an overall slump within the team. And yeah, they were cost with that this year when they lost fifth, or lost fourth, sorry, in the standings to Force India.
Yeah, definitely. So they're not even the best of the midfield teams anymore. They're now only somewhere in the midfield. And yeah, as you said, it wasn't even so that you could say, yeah, of course, Williams, they've got a low drag coefficient. They've got a good engine. They're good in on fast tracks. But even in Monza, I don't think they, or in Austria, there were no really outstanding performances this year.
Yeah, I think probably their best achievement was probably Valtteri Bottas getting the highest speed attained in a Formula One car at the Mexican Grand Prix.
Yeah.
So that's something, I guess.
And they won the DHL fastest pit stop award.
Yeah, actually, that's to be honest, they were very, very impressive. I think they
Yeah.
won. I think they were at like 14 Grand Prix. They were fastest pit stop. Which isn't a coincidence. I mean, they've definitely been working on them. So, and we've seen before, races can be decided in the pits. So, yeah, they definitely had the best pit crew this season. But yeah, it didn't really. At the end of the day, it didn't really deliver the results they wanted.
Yeah, I think their fastest pit stop was something like 1.92 seconds, which is absolutely crazy if you think about it.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, maybe Ferrari should hire the guy that does the pit stop training or something, because I think Ferrari had some issues this season. But yeah, we'll come to Ferrari in next week's episode, so make sure you tune in then. And yeah, so all in all, not a good season. Do you know which position Williams finished in the championship? Actually, in the team standings?
This year,
Yeah.
yeah, they were fifth this year.
Fifth, I think you said it even.
Yeah.
Yeah, so fifth, of course, they need a bit of money, I guess. because they are also one, we could call them one of the smaller teams, of course, and they're not heavily funded by a big manufacturer like Mercedes, Ferrari, or Red Bull, which manufactures something else, not cars, but yeah. So yeah, it will be difficult for them. Difficult year this year, maybe a difficult year next season with a heavier focus on aerodynamics. We will see, we will see. But let's come to the next team. Also, I think we can call them midfield team, and that's the very new team in Formula One. It's the Haas F1 team, of course, an American team. Is it the first American team in Formula One? Do you know that?
No, there's been a few American teams. There was actually a Haas team before in Formula One back 70s or 80s sometime, but they had nothing to do with this Haas team, so there's a fun fact for you.
Yeah, I can only remember the US F1 project. Can you remember that? I can still remember when they had some kind of small website where they showed where they put the wiring into the cars, and yeah, we will definitely build a car and be on the grid in Australia, and yeah, it never happened. I think it was 2010, where all the other manufacturers, HRTs and versions of this world came in.
Yeah, well, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So, of course, this is now for a long time. Let's say it like this: for a long time, it's the first American F1 team, and yeah, right off the start, a brilliant, brilliant result in Australia with Romain Grosjean finishing in high points, paying positions. And I think nobody of them expected that. Of course, they use a lot of Ferrari parts, Ferrari engine, but I don't really see them as a Ferrari B team. I mean, they tried to get on with the racing for the minimal amount of money.
Yeah, they had an unbelievable start to the season. I actually think some part of the car is actually given to them by Williams as well, which is a bit interesting.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
And Alara, the chassis, isn't it?
Yeah. I think something at the rear of the car is something to do with Williams. but yeah.
Maybe the rear flashlight or something, because what else would you want from a Williams?
Yeah. but yeah, no. Haas had an unbelievable start to the season. Sixth in Australia. I mean, nobody predicted that. And yeah, like, of course, that was for Grosjean. Gutierrez's first race ended quite differently.
He won the best crash of the year award.
Well, yeah. something to take away from the season, I guess. Yeah, he didn't really have much other. At least he won something this year. That success kept going for Haas, even into the next race, where they came fifth in Bahrain.
Yeah.
Which was just, I mean, crazy, crazy to think. I mean, can you imagine if, like, Virgin in 2010 got a fifth place on their second race? You know, it was just unbelievable. But then after that, yeah, I mean, not really much else happened after that for them.
Yeah, and I think they blamed it, or they thought the reason for it was that they couldn't really get the tires into the temperature. Maybe those two races at the beginning was a coincidence or something, but from then on, I heard they had a lot of problems with tires, and also I think it was both drivers had a lot of problems also with their Brembo brakes.
Yeah, there was a big problem with their brakes this season.
Yeah, and I can just remember the moment where the wheel came off from Gutierrez's car. Just said, goodbye, I'm off.
So there was big flaws with that car. But I'm not really sure, like, if those... I mean, how many points did they score throughout the season? I think it was like 29 or something like that throughout the season. I mean, I'm not sure how relevant they are to... prize giving money, because it's a really weird system and how it's worked. I mean, you have to be in Formula, like, for the first 3 years, I don't think you receive any money from Bernie Ecclestone's never-ending briefcase of money. So yeah, I mean, they do need to they do need to make improvements to the car, but again, it's not like they have a lack of money. Gene Haas is a very wealthy man, so I'm sure they have necessary funds to keep going.
Yeah, and I think what they really showed us is that they are very efficient with their budget. Of course, normally we say, yeah, teams like Force India, they're really efficient and so on. But in terms of, I don't know how much money they spent, but in terms of for the points to budget ratio for the Haas team must be really, really good, I think. Of course, as you said, I think they will not get any money from the Formula One this season. I don't know how this next season. Are you really sure 3 years there's no money for any new team?
I think so, maybe 2 years, I'm not entirely sure, but yeah, I'm
okay,
not 100%.
Yeah, that's okay. That's a long time without money for them. Of course, well, I don't think they've got any big sponsors apart from the Haas sponsorship. But yeah, all in all, I would say it was a pretty, pretty good year for them for a first year. I mean, comparing that to other new teams, it was amazing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you don't in your debut season, you're not supposed to score 29 points. And of course, there was some flaws throughout the season, but they did get three other points finishes in USA, Austria, I think, as well. They got in the points and somewhere else as well. But I mean, there was some difficulties, but I think they finished up in a pretty good position.
Yeah, definitely. So speaking of difficulties, let's come to Sauber. I mean, yeah, they don't even have money to change the livery on the car. It seems the same livery for now 3 years or something. So
yeah.
No. Did they have?
No, 2 years. They had,
two
yeah.
years. 2 years.
Yeah, they had that black livery in 2014.
Yeah, but it seems like an eternity, you know.
Mm.
Maybe because I don't like the blue livery.
Really?
We discussed it. You like it, but
yeah. I like it a lot.
But apart from the livery, not much else went too great this season, I guess. Again, with the Ferrari engine, they had a pretty good engine, maybe at the end of the season, maybe on par with the Mercedes engine. But yeah, in terms of the aerodynamics, very big difficulties. And also in terms of the financials, very big difficulties. I mean, even coming to the Chinese GP, I think we even discussed whether Sauber would even turn up.
Yeah, not a pretty season for them at all. And again, they've been struggling in the last few years. I mean, it was the turn of the hybrid era. In 2012, I mean, Sergio Perez he's getting podiums, you know, and for the team. And even in 2013, Nico Hülkenberg came very close to getting a podium. And then in 2014, they didn't score any points. 2015 was quite better, but then this year again, they just, yeah, all season, they just looked so defeated and just nowhere.
Yeah, it was even a success to get into Q2 sometimes.
Yeah, which is not where Sauber, I mean, Sauber have been in Formula 1 for a long time now, and to be at the bottom, like, you know, to be second last at the end of the season it's not good enough really for them.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And but now I think at the end of the season they announced that they've got some new backers, some new investors into the team. I think it is even, or some of the existing investors are part of the Marcus Ericsson team. Is that right?
Yeah, it's pretty much the backers who give Ericsson money have backed Sauber. So effectively, it's now Ericsson's team. So,
so should be quite easy with team orders then.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't in Monaco. I can just remember that. I think it was Martin Brundle who said, "What are you doing there?" Where they really crashed into each other for P17 or something, which was kind of hilarious, but also kind of only could shake your head.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's you don't really know what the situation they're in, because it's just a massive, massive mess. I mean, I think they both retired from that race as well in Monaco because of that crash. So, they got their 2 points at the end of the season, which, you know, is. I mean, do you want to call that a success? I guess not finishing last is a success in itself, but like finishing second last isn't that much better. But overall, a very disappointing season for Sauber once again.
Yeah, so to wrap this episode up, of course, Red Bull, a super season for them, good season for Haas in their first season. But on the negative side, of course, Williams with a lot of room for improvement next season. And also Sauber, big, big problems on the sporting and also on the financial side. So yeah, that's the review episode for those four teams. And if you want to listen to our reviews of Ferrari, Force India, Toro Rosso and Renault, you should tune in next week, and then we will be back with you. So, see you then. Wherever you are listening, we would really appreciate your feedback by commenting or rating the podcast. Thank you very much for listening. We will be back next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.